What a joy to be with you again. I want to thank Pastor Chad. Let's see, where's the camera? Right there. Pastor Chad, thanks for saying yes 15 years ago, which allowed me to come here today. So I already got a picture of the beach, and oh my goodness, I think next time we'll just all go with him. Wouldn't that be great? Chad and Courtney, we'll join you on the beach. We'll have church there. Oh, you do have that picture. Look at that. Yeah, it looks pretty amazing. Well, we're so thankful for our pastor and that the Lord is giving them time away. And so thankful for your emphasis on marriage. I know you have an emphasis on that every year. And what a beautiful thing. This is a time for strong marriages and strong churches. And congratulations for finding one. We love Cornerstone. You're a church in four different locations. And so thankful for that incredible ministry that is going forth for the sake of the kingdom of God. You can know that your investment in the kingdom is not only an investment, a wonderful celebration of your love for Jesus Christ, but it's also very effective in the kingdom. Ministry is going on throughout northern Missouri. And for that, we are just incredibly thankful and thankful for your investment in that. Today, I wanted to share with you about a divine partnership that we have with God. And we call that prayer. And it is an amazing partnership that allows us to invest not just our finances, but also our spiritual energy, our spiritual prayer that will impact the kingdom of God. A year ago, January, I was delighted to be in Jerusalem, and I went to the Western Wall, and it is a wall that is built for prayer. It was a foundational wall where the temple sat upon it at the time of Christ. The temple was destroyed by the Roman Titus and his army, and all that's left is this restraining wall that King Herod put up called the Western Wall, for a while called the Wailing Wall. And the tradition is, because it was the foundation of the temple, that the Jewish people would come and they would insert in the cracks of the wall prayers, believing it was so very sacred because it was so close to the place where the temple was. Well, when I was there a year ago in January, I inserted the name of Pastor and his wife into the cracks of the wall. And I inserted the name of Cornerstone Church into the wall. And it was my joy to just kind of pause and pray over you and over your leadership team, believing that God wanted to just do wonderful, wonderful things through you. Isn't that good to know that you are right there, or you were there, really close to the temple area? Because after a while, there's so many prayer requests that the rabbis, about every 6 months, a group of them will come by and they'll take all those prayer requests out and then we'll take them across the Kindron Valley. And there at the Mount of Olives, they will bury these sacred prayer requests. So you've been prayed over. Now you've been taken across the valley and you're buried in the Mount of Olives, which really isn't too bad of a place to be, because when the Lord returns, that's where his feet are going to sit down. How about that? Preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. Well, we are people of prayer, aren't we? We absolutely believe in prayer. And I want to talk to you a few moments about the importance of this prayer life that we have, and also give you a picture. What does it look like? Sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, are you really hearing me? I mean, really? Is there effect of our prayer? And from the New Testament, I'd like to give you a picture of what that prayer looks like and how valuable it is in the eyes of the Lord. So we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to share together what's called the Lord's Prayer, I think better called the Disciples' Prayer. We're going to have that for you. And as we say it together, I bet a lot of us have memorized that prayer. How many of you have memorized that prayer? Well, those of you that have memorized it, do you say, forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses? How many are debts people when you learned it? Okay, I see a few. How many are trespass people? That is the overwhelming. My goodness. Well, we're going to say debts. And let me tell you why. Because last summer I was doing an outdoor wedding in Kansas City. And the bride, she wanted us all to say the disciples' prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And she was a trespass person. She grew up learning, forgive us our trespasses. So I instructed the entire group, when we come to there, we're going to say, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. So then we said it publicly, and there was only one very loud voice that said, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And as soon as the wedding was over, Kim said to me, my wife, she said, honey, when did you realize you said debts rather than debtors? And I said, as soon as I said it, thank you so very much. So that's what I'm going to say anyway. So why don't you stand with me? We're going to read it together off of the screen, New King James Version. Some of you will already have it memorized. Let's offer this prayer all over the world, by the way, that many, many believers are saying these exact words today. And we kind of join with them. Will you? Let's all say it out loud. Join with me. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we ask that our time together might be fruitful for the sake of the kingdom of God. And you would allow these words to be deposited deep within our heart, our spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. So the disciples, although they had been men who had prayed ever since they were little guys, they had learned prayers, memorized prayers. They had prayed before they ate, after they washed their hands. They had prayed in the morning and afternoon and night. They just realized there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. And although they had learned to pray for such a long, long time, they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, there's something about the way you pray that is different. Will you teach us to pray? We want to learn to pray like you pray. There was such an intimacy that Jesus had with the Father when he prayed. And so, as a result, Jesus gave them this prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, or better, the Disciples' Prayer. And it was a prayer for the disciples to pray. Not that you have to always use these exact same words, although that's fine to do, and it's a wonderful prayer to be offered in that way. But there are ingredients in the prayer, the recognition that God is our Father, and he loves and cares for us, just like fathers would care for their children. And he's our Heavenly Father. And all of our prayer is about exalting the name of Jesus, that his name would be hallowed and his kingdom would come. All of those ingredients are wonderful things to be a part of our prayer. And so Jesus was teaching the disciples, this is the way to approach God. These are the ingredients you want when you are about prayer. Today, I'd like to focus in that verse that says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's really an amazing phrase when you think about that. Here is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, the ingredients that are needed. And he said, one of the ingredients that's important in prayer is the realization that you are in a divine relationship with the Father to bring about his will on earth and to allow his kingdom to be established on earth. Now, that's really astonishing because, I mean, God's God, right? God can do anything that he wants. He is the Almighty One, the Creator, the Sustainer. I mean, really, what part do we play in the bringing about of the will of God on earth, of the kingdom of God on earth? And yet, Jesus is saying, we play an essential part in the bringing of God's will to earth and the bringing of His kingdom in the fullness. Otherwise, it's kind of meaningless. If the will of God's going to happen anyway, and the kingdom of God's going to happen in the way that He wants it to happen, why do we even have to pray? Maybe we should just acknowledge it. But no. Jesus says we are divine participants with God. And the truth is, right now, in the world in which we are living, the will of God the Father is not as fully expressed as He wants it to be expressed. And the kingdom of God has not come upon our world in the way that He wants it to come upon our world. And of course, all we have to do is get up in the morning and turn on the news or open up our newspaper to realize that is really true. There is just a lot of things going on that are contrary to the will of God. And a lot of stuff happening that really exposes the fact that the kingdom of God is not being expressed in the way that God wants it. And we get to be divine participants with God in praying that will into existence and praying about that kingdom. Which means when we get up in the morning and we read the newspaper or we listen to the news, we don't just say, oh my goodness, isn't that horrible? Can you believe that happened? And I mean, the only news that's reported is the bad news, right? And we just kind of go, oh, isn't that horrible? And I wonder what's for breakfast. And I wonder if that's bacon I smell. I mean, there's more that we can do than just acknowledging that there is really, really bad news. That instead, we get to be the kind of people that engages with God to bring about His purposes in our life, in the life of Chillicothe, and all of these regions round about. Indeed, in our world, we get to help bring that about. And if that is true, then that means when we are not exercising our divine partnership with God, then the will of God is not being expressed as God wants it to. And the kingdom is not coming in the fullness that He wants it to. Because we are not pulling our... Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, it really kind of places a priority on our ability to pray for the coming of the kingdom of God and the coming of the will of God. When we read the news, we engage the news with the realization we can pray a difference in our world. We can pray a difference in our family, in our community, in our world. We can help bring about the divine plan of God by the prayers that we offer. So that's the reason why it's important for us to know the Word of God so that we know how to pray for the coming of the will of God. You might just think, well, you know, we would just kind of know it. And whatever it is that we think is good, that's exactly what it is that God wants to bring about. But the reality is that often our will is out of line with the will of God, and we need to get that realigned. Let me give you a classic example. In the same gospel that we're reading here in Matthew, we quoted the prayer from Matthew 6. In Matthew 16, so 10 chapters later, Jesus is heading up with His disciples up north on kind of a little retreat going up to Caesarea Philippi. And while they're walking, Jesus is using this as kind of a teaching moment. And He turns to His disciples as they're walking along and He says, you know, who do people think I am? You know, as I'm out, teaching and doing miracles, what are you hearing? What are people saying? And do you remember, there's all kinds of responses. Well, you're a prophet. You're Moses come again. You're Elijah. All of these responses were given about Jesus. And Jesus, I can just imagine where He kind of stops for a moment and kind of turns to Him and says, well, who do you say that I am? And you remember Peter was he was quick to respond, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the promised Messiah. You are the Christ, the promised one. And Jesus says to him, well done, Simon, you know, fist bump, you know, high five, gold star, whatever. Well done, Simon Peter. In fact, he said, you didn't learn that from someone, but rather it was a divine revelation that came from God. So I'm sure Peter's just kind of, yeah, that's pretty good. I got a divine word from God. I know who he is. That's really kind of cool. And while he's kind of congratulating himself, Jesus goes on to explain, that means I'm going to suffer and die, and my life will be given on behalf of the sins of mankind. And Peter, he goes, what? Wait a minute. What's that I hear? You know, I'm hearing from God, right? I mean, I've got the revelation from God. So he pulls Jesus aside and he says, no way. Are you kidding me? You just got here. You know, we've been waiting on the Messiah for thousands of years, and you finally show up, and now you're talking about suffering and dying and going away. What in the world is wrong with you? And the text says he rebuked Jesus. And then, here's the part that I want you to catch. Jesus, in turn, rebukes Peter and says, do you remember the words? They're quite famous. We quote them often. Get thee behind me, Satan. For, this is what I want you to catch, for you are not expressing the will for the things of God, but rather the will, we kind of expect Jesus to say the will of Satan, right? Get thee behind me, Satan. You're expressing the will of Satan. No, he says, but the will of man. You're expressing the will of man. It makes sense, Peter, right? I mean, you don't want me to leave, but I'm telling you, that's why I came. You want me to stay with you, but no, the will of the Father, the coming of the kingdom, depends on me suffering and dying for the sins of mankind. That's why I have come. Well, what that tells us is that we who are spiritual and even receive divine revelation from God, and we're reading the Word and we have an insight, and we think we really understand how easy it is for our will to be substituted for the will of God. And if we are to rightly pray for His kingdom to come and for His will to be done, that's why we need to be a part of a Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God, and why we live in the Word of God, so that we can pray effectively for the kingdom of God. So if we want to know how to pray when a family member is sick, we turn to the Word and we find out what the Word says, you see, because we want to pray for the coming of the will of God, the coming of the kingdom of God. When we pray for our community, we want our prayers to be instructed by the Word of God. What is it that God wants to accomplish? And by so doing, then, we get to be divine participants with God. Now, all of that is just really good understanding about what prayer is about. But this morning, I really sensed that the Lord wanted you to catch a picture of what that prayer looks like. I think if we have a picture of what our prayer looks like before God, that we would be a little more serious about our times of prayer and making sure that we are indeed praying. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, the will of God's dependent on you, and if you're not praying, it's not going to happen the way God wants it to happen. I get that, but I think maybe I'd be more motivated if I could really picture that. Wouldn't that be a good thing for us to have? So what I'd like to do for you in just the next few moments is give you a picture of the way that God views your prayers. How is it that God sees the prayers that you pray for the coming of the will of God and for the coming of the kingdom of God. To do that, we're going to go to the picture book of the New Testament, and that would be the book of Revelation. It's the very last book in your Bible. We're going to show you a couple of verses here in a moment. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. So you can turn there if you'd like with me. We'll also put it up on the screen. But here's the idea. What does our prayer look like before God? Now, the book of Revelation is often called the picture book of the New Testament because it's filled with all kinds of pictures. There are symbols and pictures everywhere. Some of the symbols are identified in right there in Revelation. So we know exactly what they mean and what the picture is. There are others of them that we understand what they mean because it's pulling a picture from the Old Testament. And so we kind of get that. Then there are others that we don't know. It's just like the Holy Spirit says, when the time comes, you'll know. But in the meantime, just a lot of people will guess and write books about it. You'll buy their books and you'll still be confused because no one's going to know until the time comes. So we're going to Revelation chapter 5. And we're not going to spend time explaining the chapter for you. That's why you have Pastor Chad. So when he gets home, that's what he gets to do, is all the questions you have about Revelation chapter 5. So Pastor Chad, I suggest you get off the beach, run back into the house, start studying. No. I got a better plan. Just call Pastor Stan. He'll have all the answers for you. Anyway, so we're going to leave chapter 5 alone in all of the context. All I want for you to see is the picture of how does God value the prayers that you are offering. All right, why don't we look at it together? We have it there on the screen. Let me read it and watch for the picture. And when he had taken it, who's he? That's, you can ask that to Pastor Chad when he gets back. So the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Oh, that's a picture of the Lamb. Anyone know who the Lamb is? That's an easy one for us, isn't it? The Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. Each one had a harp. Now look at this. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Oh, so here's the picture as we begin to ask, okay, how does God value our prayers? What does it look like to Him? The picture that we are given is here in the throne room of God, there are golden bowls that are filled with incense, which is a picture of the prayers of the people of God. Have you ever seen maybe an Orthodox priest, maybe you've seen it on television, where they're dressed in their garb and they're holding a golden chain with a golden ball. It's called a censer that is filled with all kinds of wonderful things that give off a sweet fragrance, and it's on fire, so there's smoke kind of going to the side. And as he walks down the aisle of the church, he's swinging that back and forth so that the smell and the smoke, it kind of goes out. Have you ever seen that on television? Can you picture that? Well, what they're doing is trying to do what Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 is talking about. They're trying to picture for their people, for us, the prayers of the saints. That's, some think, oh, that means that's the presence of God that's kind of wafting over the people. No. That's not what that is. That is a picture of the prayers of the saints, of the people of God, as it ascends into the very presence of God. This wonderful, sweet fragrance that comes into the presence of God, and our prayers, like the smoke, it begins to ascend up into the heavens. And from our perspective, you know, the prayers are just kind of gone. We can't see them anywhere. But from God's perspective, He collects them much like the incense, and He keeps them before Him in these golden bowls. It is precious unto God, It brings a wonderful fragrance to Him, and the smoke is like the very prayers that are precious in the sight of God in these golden bowls before Him. Are you beginning to see the picture? Can you see that God values your prayers? It is something of value to Him. It's always in His presence. And it's in this golden bowl. It's not just a bowl, a stainless steel bowl. It's a golden one because it is valuable and it is there in the presence of God. Okay, now what does God do with the prayers of the saints? Well, we flip over now to Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, and we're going to see these prayers in action. So here are the prayers of the saints that are praying for the coming of the will of God and for the kingdom of God to be established. Here they are in the presence of God, and in chapter 8, again, that's a chapter to ask your pastor about when he gets home, you know, what's going on in chapter 8. But again, we're just looking for the picture here. That's all we're doing this morning. What happens to the prayers of the saints or the prayers of the people of God? By the way, in the King James Version, it says the prayer of the saints. You do know that you're a saint, aren't you, if you're a child of God? Isn't that good to know? You don't have to die in order to be a saint. All you have to do is be a child of God. If you're praying the prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven," well, then you're a child of God and a people of God and the saint of God. So, you know, if people at work don't treat you very well, you could go to them and go, "Well, you do know I'm a saint, don't you? I mean, I just want you to know the guy you're disrespecting here is a saint. Just wanted you." Now, probably not. No, never mind. Don't do that. Well, Revelation chapter 8. Now, what happens to the prayers? Look at verse 3. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. By the way, this image now, the prayers are coming from the bowls into the censer right on the altar before God. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it down on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. All right, so here are the prayers that are before God. And now it's time for something to happen to the prayers that we have prayed that God hath received. And as a result, did you notice, the prayers are mixed with the fire from the altar, the power of God. That's this divine partnership where the prayers of the people of God are mixed with the power of God. Now, let me ask you, what gives our prayers really power? It's not the words that we are offering, right? It is the mixture with the power of God. And at the right, proper time, these prayers are thrown back down to earth. And there's all kinds of activity that is happening to bring about the will of God and the kingdom of God. So there's a couple of images there. There's a storm. There's this lightning. There's all of this activity that is happening in the sky. Now, I don't know about you. What do you do when there are storms? I know some people run inside. My wife and I, we run outside. We get our cup of coffee, and we have a porch where we can see the storm approaching over Columbia. And we sit out there and we just watch this storm come rolling in. And oh my goodness, it's electric, right? You see the storm and the clouds and they're moving and there is lightning and there is thunder. And then the rain begins to fall and we just kind of back up a little bit. We've got a little overhang And we sit there while the water is coming pouring down. So I know anyone else kind of enjoy storms like us? Oh, God bless you. Your prayers are so much more valuable as a result of that. I'm sure that's true. I mean, there is something happening, right? And everyone is aware that something is happening. And let there be a big flash and some big thunder, and there's the realization that something is happening, and it is absolutely electric. Or the other picture given for us here is a picture of a earthquake. How many have experienced an earthquake? Not as many of us. And typically, that's not the one where you go get a cup of coffee and sit down and kind of watch it happening. I met my bride, Kim, in California. That's where she grew up, in Burbank, California. Some of you old-timers might remember the phrase, beautiful downtown Burbank. Does anyone remember that? You're dating yourself. Oh, God bless you. You do. You know why they don't say that anymore? You might have thought that the comedian host is gone, and that's the reason. No. I brought the beauty back to Missouri. I took him and brought her from Burbank back. And so, yeah, a little romantic. Good time to kiss your bride, Pastor Chad, there on the beach. Just, yeah, that's great. Celebrating the beauty. Well, while we were there in California, we happened to be in bed, and oh my goodness, the earth began to move, and we are looking. I mean, you wake up and you're going, oh, what's going to happen? And you're trying to find someplace secure, because the very ground itself is shaking, and you realize how unstable things are. Here is the effect or the power of prayer. It is the realization that something electric is happening. The very atmosphere is charged with the effects, prayers that you have prayed before God at just the right time. God takes those prayers mixed with His power based upon the will and the kingdom of God, and it is thrown to earth in order to transform what is happening on earth for the sake of the kingdom of God. It is a time of the shaking that goes on, and the walls that have stood, and you think that there's no way around, suddenly begin to split and to crumble because of the power of God mingled with the prayers of the people of God brings absolute transformation on earth. And that is the biblical picture of your prayer. I mean, you get to move mountains with your prayers. You get to shake the very foundations of the world with your prayers. You get to change the atmosphere with your prayers. If you go to work and there's a crummy atmosphere, it's time to pray for the coming of the kingdom of God at work. Lord, would you use me and my prayers to bring about a change in the atmosphere? Would you electrify it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you're facing a situation where it seems there is a wall, there is a barrier where you can't break through, and you're crying out to God at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. God will literally shake the foundations of your problem for the sake of the kingdom of God. It is the will of God. And that is this wonderful divine participation we have with God to bring about His will on earth and the kingdom of God around us. That means, people of the Lord, we get to be in prayer all the time. When the scripture says pray without ceasing, and you're trying to figure out what does that look like? That just means whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we get to send this wonderful prayer into the very presence of God to bring about a change. When we're around people who are married and they're squabbling, we get to pray. We get to release into the very heavens at just the right time for God to bring a difference into their lives. And when we're reading in the newspaper about war in another part of the world. It's okay. We still get to pray and release the will of God and the kingdom of God. By our prayers, we are affecting the world because of who we are, the people of God, praying to our Heavenly Father who loves and cares and concerns for us. So we can make it really practical, can't we? It means we get to believe God for the miraculous live. One of my best friends, I was with him last week up in Minneapolis. He was telling me of when he first understood the power of God. He was a fellow that was religious, but really, you know, just said the right stuff and did the right stuff, but really did not have a relationship with God at all. And suddenly he became aware of this incredible relationship you could have with Jesus Christ, who died for his sins. And he said, when I accepted the Lord, I became all in. I just believed that what the Bible said was true. And I was just all in. And he had a baby that was born, and the baby had an eye defect. It was a birth defect. And the doctor said, you know, we're going to bring the baby back in, and even at very young age, we're going to get glasses, and there's going to have to be some correction, and eventually your child will be blind in the right eye, and we'll need to wear glasses, but we're going to get on it right away, and we'll do our very best. And my friend, he went home and read about anointing with oil and the prayer for the sick. Do you remember reading about that? So he's new in the faith, and he calls his pastor and he says, "Pastor, what kind of oil do I get?" And the pastor thought of, you know, he'd be funny, and he said, WD-40, that's what. And he said, "Okay, great." And then the pastor goes, "Well, wait. No, not really. And he said, Well, what kind of oil?" And he says, "Well, what do you have?" And he says, "Honey, what do we have? Crisco. Okay, use that," the pastor said. So he went up in his bedroom, and his little boy was lying there asleep, got his fingers on the Crisco, and he turned to his wife and said, "The right eye, right? I mean, you don't want to anoint the wrong eye. The right eye." And put it on the baby, and they prayed. And he went out of the room, and the wife stayed behind to clean up the mess, because that's what wives do, always cleaning up the messes. Thank you, Courtney, for cleaning up Pastor Chan's mess. It's what wives do. Next morning, he went to work, and his wife took their son to the doctor in order to begin this treatment. And the secretary came in and said to the man, your wife's on the phone, and something's really wrong. She can hardly talk. And he picked up the phone, and he said, "Honey, what's going on? Rosemary, what's going on?" And she said, "Bill, it's true. The prayer worked. The doctor said, 'I don't know what's going on, but your boy's got perfect sight. There is nothing wrong with him. He will never become blind. He will never, you know, need glasses, at least from our perspective.'" And it was the realization of that simple prayer offered unto God moved earth and moved in the life of this little baby. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, we are people of prayer, divinely partnering with God to bring about change where we live. That is who we are. Would you stand with me, please? I just know in a group of this size, there's a couple of us at least that need to offer prayer unto God in faith, believing for a radical transformation in our life. Perhaps even while I've been sharing with you, there's been this realization, I've got a situation where the atmosphere drastically needs to change. Maybe a marriage, it may be a family, it may be the atmosphere at work, it may be that neighbor down the street. And things just need to change. Or perhaps there's a barrier that is keeping you from what you know that God wants you to receive and obtain. And it's like a wall you've tried to get through and there was no way through. And the very foundations of that situation need to be shaken and broken down so that you can have access. This morning, I just believe it's good to respond to the truth of the Word of God when it is declared. And I don't want to embarrass you in any way, but I'm going to invite you, if you've got a situation where the atmosphere needs to change, or a situation where the ground needs to shake, I'm going to ask that you would just come and stand up with me right here. It'll only be a few moments, and we will pray and we will believe together that we are offering this incense unto God, this prayer that is going to the very throne of God. But before we do that, I'd like to make sure that we are the people of God, saints of God, called by His name. So this is where I'd like to ask that you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. And again, I promise not to embarrass you. But this morning, you want to know that you're a child of God. You want to know that your sins have been covered and that Jesus Christ is Lord. You want to know that He delights in you as a child of God and that you can pray the prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So present this morning, you're wanting to declare your desire to be a child of God. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. You can trust the sanctity of this moment. I'm just going to look for your hand to be raised. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I will pray for you a prayer that you can pray just within to know that you have become a child of God this morning. So I'm looking for your hand. You would raise it and say, "That's me. I need to know that I'm a child of God." Looking over the congregation, just keep it up till I acknowledge, please. I want to pray for you so that you know that you're a child of God. Looking for your hand. Father, thank you. Yes, thank you very much. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. Beautiful. Just pause for a moment more. I want to make sure I see your hand. My heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to say a prayer, and I just invite you to just kind of pray it, just very softly. In fact, I'm going to invite all of us to pray the prayer. If we would just say it softly, just maybe loud enough for you to hear it yourself and the person next to you. You'll need to pray it loud. We have 3 or 4 here who have responded. If you pray these words, there's nothing about the words that are just going to cause you to become a child of God. It's simply your heart acknowledging that you have failed God, you have sinned, and Jesus has come and has died for you. And literally in these moments that we pray, you are marked out as a child of God. It doesn't mean you're a member of this church, although this is a great church to belong to. But it means that you are a child of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just say the prayer with me. "Dear Jesus, I know that I have failed you, that I have missed the mark, that I am a sinner, and I know that I need forgiveness, and I know that you died on the cross to cover my sins and to give me forgiveness. I receive that forgiveness right now. I believe that you are Jesus the Christ, sent from the Father to die for my sins. You died on a cross for me. You were buried in the grave. And you were resurrected to new life. And as a result, new life comes to me this morning. By offering this prayer, believing in my heart, confessing with my mouth, I have become a child of God. Fill me with your Spirit, I pray, and let me walk in the newness of life as a child of God. For this I give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Congratulations. Amen. Here's a church filled with people who have said a similar prayer and know that they are children of God. So can you right now? And the Word of God says that in heaven, the angels are having a party over you. How about that? And just as they are rejoicing, so can you rejoice and know that you're a child of God. Amen. Amen. So now, children of God, if you've got a situation in life where the atmosphere must change, enough. You've got a situation in life where it needs to be shaken with walls coming down and things really different. You won't stay long, but I invite you to just come and fill right now, right here. Can you lead us in worship while we do that? Just come right on. You've got a situation. Just come right on. You need the atmosphere to change. You need the foundation to be shaken. Just come right on. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Just come right on. Here's a time where we're just going to send those prayers right into the heavens. Amen. Amen. Just come right on down. Amen. 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 Now, just a moment, we're going to pray. You've got all these people that are going to be praying behind you as well. So their prayers are going up into your account. That's pretty good, isn't it? We're just going to begin praying, and the Lord is going to receive our prayers. He counts this time so valuable that He says He will collect it in a bowl, and it will ever be before His throne, the very altar of God. And in just the right time, just the right way, the very atmosphere will change. Join with me in prayer. Would you join with us as we believe God for the shaking and the kingdom of God to come? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you for these that have gathered this morning, that is needing a change in the atmosphere, that is needing a very shaking of the foundations of life. Lord, here they come, standing before you, before this congregation who was praying for them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we believe, God, that this prayer is transformational. We believe this prayer ascends into the very heavens before you, and you count it with such weight. It is so valuable that it is ever before you. Father, we want to thank you for receiving our prayer. And we ask, Lord, that in the name of Jesus Christ, praying Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and following, that you would allow these prayers to return to the earth in power, O God. And you would shake the atmosphere. You would electrify it in the name of Jesus Christ. And shake the foundations in the name of Jesus Christ. And you would allow sons and daughters to walk in the victory of their God, knowing that the will of God has been established on earth as it is in heaven, and that your kingdom has come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now can we all just begin to thank God? Would you join with me? Thank you, Lord. We receive it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe the reality. We believe the truth. We believe and receive the word of the Lord that is spoken over your sons and daughters today, and the victory that is ours in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Now I want you to pray it with me one more time. And Jesus said, pray in this way. But we're going to repeat that, thy will come, thy kingdom be done. You ready? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say it again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One more time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Grant it in the name of the Lord. The Lord bless you.